And girls of every age, wouldn't you like to see something strange?
Come with us and you will see. This is our town of Halloween.
This is Halloween. This is Halloween. Pumpkins scream in the dead of night.
This is Halloween. Everybody make a scene.
Trick or treat. Tell the neighbors on the diaphragm.
It's our town.
Welcome to Broadway Baby, the podcast taking one casual theater goer to full out fangirl. I am your host, Kimberly Schmidt, here with my husband, Jay Schmidt.
Hi, guys.
And our baby, Alex Fasella.
Hello.
And this week we watched, almost said listened and watched the Tim Burton. Oh, it's not a Tim Burton film, you informed me.
Just say it's a Disney. It's, you can say Tim Burton, it's fine.
It's yeah. A Tim Burton property on Disney Plus, The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yay!
Before we get into that, has Baby met world?
Baby's met some world. First of all, I was talking to a friend of mine, just who likes theater as well, and I said, "Oh, do you like the show Hedwig and the Angry Inch?" She goes, "Like it? I helped finance it, and I rewrote some of it when John Cameron Mitchell broke his foot." I was like,
what?
"So I have a friend who was like deep in Hedwig, but he doesn't want to tell me over Zoom. So the next time we can hang out, he's going to give me the whole story." But I'm just like, oh, please, because I want backstory. I love that show so much. And he goes, "I saw everybody on Broadway except for," and then he meant to say Michael C. Hall, but what he said was everyone except Michael Cera. And I'm like, oh, I want to see that now, though. I would love to see it. Just a twitchy, neurotic Hedwig with no self-confidence. Like how I would play that role, kind of. I would like that. Second, I wrote, I'm, as always, writing my musical. I wrote a song that I dreamed the chorus of about 3 years ago and just had it intact for no reason. And I had sung it into my tape recorder when I woke up. And I'd always thought, like, am I ever going to do anything with that little lick I made up? And then I finally found a use for it in my show. Because so what we didn't mention when Miles was on is that one of the angles we're taking with this show, The Patriot, is... analysis of the Democratic Party right now and how like the right wing of the party is kind of at war with the more progressive left wing. And Miles and I are super lefties, so we're really like frustrated right now. And so Anne, who is the character that ends up marrying Heath Ledger's character, in the movie she's got no personality. And I said, what if we make her like a really leftist progressive? So this was her song explaining to Heath Ledger about how the movement for freedom for America isn't really about freedom if they don't also work for marginalized people. So it was her kind of explaining progressivism to him and getting him on board. And so it dovetailed nice because the song kind of sounds like a college rock song, like a Guster sort of a song. So that sort of works with the feel and the theme. So I was like, oh, go me. Good job. Good job. Isn't it weird that this thing that 5 years ago I would have told you was the dumbest art form of all time I'm doing now and seem to have a slight amount of proficiency at?
Yeah.
I seem to be okay from what I've showed you. Yes. I thank you. So second of all, I would like to share with you some ideas that I have for my next show and why each of them cannot legally happen.
Okay.
So the first show I wanted to write, and I actually tried to write this just for fun before The Patriot, but then I just reused some of it for The Patriot. I wanted to write Gangs of New York, the musical.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think it could be cool that it would be like a metal show and a punk show because all the different gangs would be a different subgenre of punk, like the Dead Rabbits are Irish, so they'd be like a Dropkick Murphys or like a Pogues kind of, and then Bill the Butcher would be like full on like metal and it would be all about the fight and stuff. My second idea was I want to do a Beck jukebox musical called Modern Guilt. Where it's this kind of like bumming around like hitchhiker guy who is like Beck, but not Beck, but Beck. And you would find out the reason why he was kind of like just a nomad was he's running from Scientology and that the act break he'd get caught. But I would have to get the rights from Beck and his family is Scientologists. So that would be a big no.
Never.
And the last of all, and this is an idea I like to call Spider-Man, but good. I want to do Green Arrow, the musical, but it's a glam rock show.
Okay.
And I think that works. I don't know why it works. Maybe just because he's so flamboyant, but like, I think that would actually be really cool.
I really thought you were about to say Spider-Man, but works. And it's like, I just want to do Spider-Man. But...
Oh, no. Oh, what if they just tried that again? They're like, hey, did you like this when it was a train wreck? Here's when it's competent. And then everyone's like, I like the train wreck better, kind of.
I weirdly think that that actually could work.
Yeah, the marketing for that would be genius, and everyone would go see it.
Yeah, be like, probably. Hey, Spider-Man, we're doing it again. Let's hope we don't screw it up again.
Yeah.
We kicked out Bono. We hired a real musical theater writer.
Yeah.
Here it is.
What they could do is do Into the Spider-Verse and like SpongeBob it, where each song's a different artist to represent a different part of like the universe.
I think that would land right back in the problems it had the first time.
It could if you do it badly, but
yeah.
It's
if you want to go safe, then yeah.
Honestly, the genre switching of SpongeBob was the only thing I didn't really like about it, if I'm being totally honest.
Okay.
It just wasn't the most cohesive of scores.
It was I still really enjoyed it though. I had a great time.
Yeah.
But
I'm Not a Simple Sponge is a great song.
It's a great song.
Who wrote that one? Panic at the Disco?
I think so, yeah. Like that show was way better than it had any right to be.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I had a great time.
Yeah.
Any other world?
That is all my world, I believe.
Just We Met World?
Sorry, we can edit out that long pause.
Nah, leave it in.
One of our bartenders at the restaurant is like a big musical theater person, like performer, and we were just having one of those days where we kind of needed a morale boost around the place, and we were setting up the restaurant, and he went, hey, how about we just like listen through Six while we yes. set up? And I was like, that sounds great. I was like, we all need that, and we did, and it was great.
That sounds like a great start to a work day.
Yeah, it was pretty great.
Yeah. The world I will meet later is in this new office that we have in our home. Mm-hmm. I'm going to organize my playbills.
Oh, okay.
Right now they're in a milk crate all willy-nilly.
Yeah.
How many are there?
Huh?
How many are in there?
I don't know.
A staggering amount.
It's full.
Okay. It's a crate's worth.
A crate's worth of playbills.
A full crate.
Yeah. And so now that I'm not just throwing things on the pile every week when I come home from a show, I can find them a true home.
Yeah.
It'll be nice and sad. Anyway, we can talk about a word of the week.
Word of the week?
Kind of. Is it a word? Is it a mindset? Is it a phenomena that we might call the holiday limited engagement Broadway run?
Speaking of fun and sad.
Fun and sad. Speaking of, you know, the Ruben and Clay's Christmas Spectacular.
Ooh.
I have the cup. It was one of my prized possessions.
Yeah.
It held two doubles of red wine throughout the course of that show. And yeah, so every holiday season until now, there have been... Because I'm sort of like talking just out like anecdotally about most of this, because I didn't find anything about like why there are so many holiday limited engagements and just Christmas shows. But I think it's probably there's an influx of tourists around the holidays.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of empty theaters because usually things open in the spring so that they are at top of mind come Tony season.
Yeah.
Not a lot of stuff opens in the fall. So if there are theaters that have a show yet to come in, they will rent themselves out for a couple of weeks to say The Illusionists for their holiday show.
They had a holiday show?
I saw it last year.
Oh.
I don't know that I stayed the whole time.
Is there not enough illusioning for you?
It was so corny.
Yeah.
And I guess like, I don't know. The Illusionist to me, I thought it was going to be like a cool like punk rock kind of magic show.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like these five very, very different magicians that just all kind of had a Christmas bit. And so it felt almost like a stand-up show.
It was, so it was Kris Kringle Angel?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it just like was like stand-up that was going from like a different kind of stand-up. I don't know. Okay. And then there's this one, like, creepy old magician who had a young girl come up and make a flower out of a handkerchief.
Okay.
Anyway, it was vaguely Christmas.
I think it also stems from the fact that, yeah, you can just have a limited engagement and like actually like fill houses for a short amount of time. Yeah. It's like the perfect opportunity for people who like are promoting a Christmas album,
yep.
or are, you know, they already have a pretty successful Christmas album and they want to roll in. They don't necessarily want to be, you know, they don't want to be on Broadway for an extended amount of time.
But they'll do a week.
Yeah.
You know? Who else has had Christmas specials? Probably the most infamous one, at least if you're in my group of friends, was Home for the Holidays, which was a Christmas variety show 2 years ago, 2018, I want to say. That was hosted by Caitlin Bristow of The Bachelorette. And...
It's interesting to have a host of a theatrical experience.
Well, it was like a variety show. And so there were like five different singers involved and they would just come in and sing a Christmas song. And then one would sing one alone and they would do some group numbers and some little bits.
Yeah. More often than not, these shows are structured in such a way that they're not full shows. There's no plot. There's no circumstance to it. It's very
an old-fashioned variety show.
Yeah, it's what they did in White Christmas, but for real.
Yeah, yeah, it's exactly yes, exactly. It's exactly.
We're putting on a show because this theater's empty.
Yes.
Home for the Holidays was notoriously quite bad. Then Clay and Ruben decided to give it a go the next year. I saw the first preview. So there were just a lot of technical mishaps, which was fun to see.
Yeah.
They did this whole bit where they were an advent calendar and they were like popping their heads out, but they were just kept coming through the ones. And then the spotlight was on a completely different number.
Oh, good. Good thing they made it to Broadway and still had all those kinks not worked out.
Well, a lot of times these shows have probably had 3 days of rehearsal.
Yeah.
They're musical acts that know the songs they're going to sing. And then they come in and they basically have band rehearsal and then go straight to tech.
Yeah, it's not like they're going to have previews around Thanksgiving.
No.
No.
I mean, they did have previews when I saw this, but they did maybe like five. And then they opened.
Okay.
Like they had five previews leading up to the weekend they opened. And then they ran for like 3 weeks. I want to say Ruben and Clay finished early. But there have also been some limited engagement Christmas musicals.
Really?
For instance, Elf.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Elf was turned into a Christmas musical. Turned into a musical, rather. It opened around Christmas, and I think it ran longer than the holiday season. But my friend played the show when it comes back for a limited engagement at the theater at Madison Square Garden, mm-hmm. which is like a 5,000-seat theater. Last year, Annie was their Christmas engagement at that theater.
Oh, okay.
I this morning was like, I think there's an argument that Annie is a Christmas musical. There's a Christmas song and it ends with a giant Christmas tree and somebody's heart growing three sizes.
It is definitely more a Christmas show than MAME, but also.
Yeah.
How dare you? How dare you?
The other ones I can think of are when Christmas Story, the musical, written by Pasek and Paul.
Oh.
So that came out, and then they did Christmas Story Live with Maya Rudolph.
Oh, yeah, they sure did.
On a network that I'm blanking on.
I think it was NBC.
Probably. And there's one more that I... Elf? Oh, White Christmas.
Well, and The Grinch.
And The Grinch. So The Grinch, I think, ran, like, for 2 months, a couple Christmases in a row. And then White Christmas has... What was I going to say? White Christmas was on Broadway?
I believe it.
I think it was on Broadway once or twice in a limited run. And then there is very, very small. And then there's a national tour that goes out every year around the holidays with pretty much the same cast.
Okay.
Yeah, I only know it as the touring company. I'm not even, I can't even say with confidence if it's been in New York or not.
I think it was.
They did Holiday Inn for a long time.
So Holiday Inn was the Roundabout Theater's Christmas show a few seasons ago. The Paper Mill did it last year with Haley Pachoon, who was wonderful. And then White Christmas just always tours every year. which is nice for all of those dancers. They know they have a gig come November.
I know a couple of people that
they kind of fund
a lot of their year just by touring with like Elf or The Grinch, and it's like the kind of thing where they usually those productions go back to the same cast if they can.
Yeah.
Just because there's such a short rehearsal time. If they already know it, it really helps.
They're big enough money makers that those tours have remained equity for a long time.
Uh-huh. They're good tours. They're good tours. They're good jobs.
You'll get your healthcare weeks.
Yeah. It's a big deal.
What a weird year that none of that is happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what a weird year. Can just be a sentence.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite Christmas musical, Jay Bird?
It's White Christmas. Full stop.
Have you seen the stage production?
No.
Did you see Holiday Inn with me?
No.
Oh. Well then, yeah, you get White Christmas. Alex, do you have a favorite holiday musical?
I guess White Christmas by default, just because that's the only one I know. But it was quite good.
Yeah, I love White Christmas. I have also never seen it on stage, but I would like to. I think Elf there are some also, differences.
Elf was also really funny.
Elf the musical was a great time.
Yeah.
Did you see that with me?
No, but I saw it the year before, I think. Oh. Right? I've seen it.
I saw it when Emily did it at the theater at Madison Square Garden, and it was a great time.
Grinch is also a fun show, too.
I've never seen
The music's cute. I don't even know who wrote it, but it's fun.
I don't know either.
And Chelsea was on that tour forever.
Cool.
She did that for like 7 years.
Wow.
Good for her.
I have a few favorite Christmas songs that are not from Christmas musicals.
Okay.
Which I thought was a fun little segment. Mainly, We Need a Little Christmas.
Oh, from
Mame.
Because we need a little Christmas.
A Hard Candy Christmas from The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Dolly Parton.
That show is so much better than it gets credit for.
Hot Candy Christmas. We just had Marty Rosen. Marty Rosen. Marty Thomas and Marissa Rosen on Broadway to talk about their new holiday album. And they are doing a cover of Hard Candy Christmas with some pretty epic belters.
All right.
And I'm very excited to listen to that.
A few Christmases ago, I saw John Colton and John Roderick did a Christmas album together, the two indie musicians, and it was really, really good, because it was like, they were kind of funny, but also like kind of bittersweet, like the way a good Christmas song can be. And I'm not like a huge fan of Christmas music, but I loved their album.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw them do it at City Winery. I'm sure it's on Spotify too, but that live show was real good.
Now if I'm being honest with you,
yeah.
I, as much as a lot of these like Christmas quote unquote variety shows have not been good, and we've seen some stinkers.
They're fun.
I think that the business model of them and the art form, like the small little microcosm of the art form that are these shows, is a valid thing. And I think it can be really cool.
Oh, of course.
Now I have.
You have a plan?
I know what show I would want to produce. I'm hesitant to talk about it on this thing because I don't want anyone to steal it, because I think we could probably make a ton of money. And I think if you produce it well, it could be a very well done and tasteful show. Follow me here.
Yeah. I call copyright.
Okay. TM. I would like to do a holiday variety show, and it would mainly be a singing through of her Christmas album. I would like to see Amy Grant Christmas on Broadway.
Absolutely.
Full stop. Her first Christmas album, it just slamma jams. It's just like Grown Up Christmas Wish. Come on. Come on. They're all bangers. Alex, I can see from your face you do not know who I'm talking about, and that's okay.
I'm seeing if Amy Grant has ever done her show on Broadway, because I feel like she should. Amy Grant is a crossover Christian artist.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Best Christmas albums you could ever
She has
for.
Some of the best Christmas albums of all time. And I just think, I'm just envisioning just like the whole stage just draped in red velvet and poinsettias.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like, just.
They can use the set from Home for the Holidays.
It doesn't need
it just
to
be Amy Grant.
It just doesn't need to be corny. It doesn't need to be overblown. Like, you don't, honestly, like, it'd be very bit light, I think. You just get like a really, really charismatic person to be the piano player on stage.
Did you know that Amy Grant and my mother have the same birthday?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a fun fact I just saw on the internet. like her, I don't know, who else, who could be on the piano? Who was Rosie's piano player?
I don't remember. Him. But some, but that kind of vibe. No, you're catching what I'm spitting.
Because you know my like other that. Favorite Christmas album of all time.
Yes.
Rosie O'Donnell Christmas.
Okay.
Do You Hear What I Hear featuring Elmo?
Okay.
But also, but to your point.
What a tangent.
Why can't we have a Muppet Christmas extravaganza?
That would be great because they already have made, you could just do Muppet Christmas Carol again, but have it be live. And then you can stunt cast people as the puppets. As long as they're funny, like they don't have to work the shit. They can just do the voices. It'd be great.
I will say now that this time next year, we will probably have a lot of Christmas shows on Broadway because I bet some theaters will unfortunately still be empty. And producers are going to need something easy for the tourists that have returned to the city.
Yeah.
And holiday shows put butts in seats.
Mm.
Most of the time.
I think we can make this show happen.
Okay.
I know,
Amy Grant?
I know I talk big, but I think if we get the... you get the money first, and then you go to Amy Grant. And okay. You go, look.
But how do you get the money if you don't already have Amy Grant?
Well, you get Amy Grant, and then you get the money. But then you get the money, and you get Amy Grant. I'll figure it out, okay?
Okay.
You just tell the money that you got Amy Grant, you tell Amy Grant you got the money, and then shazam.
That's a different show.
Yeah.
All right. Is that enough Christmas?
I think so.
Now we go to Alt Christmas, The Nightmare Before Christmas. This is a movie from 1993. It is stop motion. Jay sang along to the entirety of the film as we watched it last night. And so I now only know what it looks like and what Jay sings along to, and I don't know what it's about.
Here's the thing.
That's all you need.
Kimberly normally really likes it when I like sing around the house because I sing quite a bit, and she likes it, and it makes her smile and make her do a little dance, and that's why I do it. When I was singing along with Nightmare Before Christmas, I got halfway through the first song, Kimberly goes, "Are you going to sing this whole time?" And I was like, "No." I was like, "I don't wanna." I just really...
Well, yeah. I don't know the movie. Okay, so let's go through personal histories. My personal history is I don't really have one. I've seen the movie maybe once or twice. It was not a part of my childhood. It's creepy. And so I was trying to listen and learn. And instead, I just had Jay just whisper singing every lyric. And how did you grow up with this film?
I actually saw this movie, like, I think in middle school. And I was really into it in, like, late middle school, high school, kind of. Like, in the early phases of what I call Hot Topic Nightmare Before Christmas, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Keeping that story in business.
It's, like, second wave of popularity in, like, in the alt scene is when I saw it for the first time.
Okay.
And I would say that's maybe 33% of the reason why I liked it, because it felt like a little, like... It felt a little...
I feel like it had its own section at Hot Topic while you were in middle school.
Oh, exactly.
I think it still does. Like, it's still on film. This movie has a Star Wars level of, like, merch.
Yes.
From a merch perspective, this movie has probably made a lot more money than a lot of other Disney properties. Like,
yeah.
So I may have gotten into it because it was a little alt, a little edgy, but then, like, I stuck around... Oh, that's cute. Because
I just showed Jay that when I Googled Nightmare Before Christmas to look up how much, like, merch sales they've made, there is a diamond engagement ring with Jack Skellington, and I pointed it out to say, how hideous.
But then I stuck around because I actually really like the music, and I think it's just, like, really charming.
Yeah, I want to see more Danny Elfman shows now, if he has ever made another musical, I don't know. But, like, the songs are great.
Because he did all the music to Edward Scissorhands, which has been turned into a ballet, which I saw in Philadelphia.
Was it good?
I'm so bummed I didn't get to see that when that was here. It was apparently incredible.
It was great. The opening scene with the scissors, when he's little with all the scissors, and then he turns into Scissorhands.
Yeah.
It was cool. So that's the closest thing to a musical, I guess, he's done.
The interesting, yeah. What's your history with this, Alex?
I got into it when I was really little. Like, I saw it the first wave when it came out, and I was really into it. I had all the toys. They were great toys, too. I had, like, the werewolf. I don't think I had a Jack. I think he didn't interest me much. I had a Sally. I had the mayor. I had the three little imps that worked for Oogie. I had the guy with the axe in his head, and you move the axe and he would blink. Like, they were really cool little things. So I was deep in the merch. And I then didn't think about it for a while longer, and then got into Tim Burton. Kind of wanted to go back. Then I saw it about 10 years ago at the RIP Sunshine Cinema. And I was like, I like this, but why is it a thing? And then I saw it again, and I liked it more, and I'll explain that I have a little bit of beef with the screenplay, but it's a solid movie.
Yeah.
So I got in there ground floor.
There we go. I'm just looking at Danny Elfman scores.
Okay.
Mostly Tim Burton. Of course, Men in Black, Flubber!
The interesting thing about this, I was looking it up today, and why they never made a sequel to this movie.
Tell me.
Apparently there were talks about a sequel to this movie, but Disney specifically said that it needs to be CG, and the director was like, nah, I'll pass.
No.
It's not. Also, this movie, while they have reconciled, like, a couple years after this, this movie, caused kind of a little bit of a break between Tim Burton and Danny Elfman.
Huh.
Why?
The article just quoted Danny Elfman as saying, like, look, with both of our personalities, this was bound to happen eventually, and we're fine now, but it was just, there was a couple years we just didn't talk. Like, they're both creatively, like, you know, very passionate and very opinionated people, like, and they're both successful in their own rights. It's not like one needs the other in a circumstance, like,
yeah.
So... Yeah. So they were like, well, we don't, like, Danny and Tim aren't talking, so I don't know how we're going to do another one.
No. Do you want to guess its box office gross?
I would love to.
The budget was $26 million, which is insane for 1993, but makes sense for a stop-motion animation.
It took a long time to make.
It took 2 years to make, so.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Production started in July 1991, and it was released in 93.
I think it made $70 million.
I'm gonna say it made $85 million.
90 on the dot.
Oh wow.
So Alex wins. Price is Right.
Okay.
Woo.
I can't quite find how much it's made through merch, but that is just the box office, and it's quite a bit, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how much movies make.
I alone have purchased many, many Nightmare Before Christmas related items, so I can only imagine how much money this movie has made.
Oh, really?
I had I had a wallet and like a poster and like stickers and buttons, and I think I bought some patches that I put on a hoodie.
The thing about this movie is that in my mind, it was like a very specific, like, archetype of high schooler was really into the Nightmare Before Christmas.
For sure.
But you do not fit that.
Oh, I was really into it.
But, like, you don't fit that, like, stereotype in my
mind.
This
brings up an interesting point.
Yeah.
This brings up an interesting line of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not, if you don't envision me as that, what do you envision? What kind of high school do you think I was?
I didn't think you were goth.
Yeah, I wasn't goth. But
in my mind, I'm picturing the boys in like UFO pants with a like Jack Skellington hoodie.
Oh, okay.
Is like what I think of when I think of a Nightmare Before Christmas fan. But then that's not true, because I know most of my friends in high school love this movie. You love this movie.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why I don't.
But I was like really emotional in high school. And,
is
like,
this movie emotional?
It's like kind of edgy and kind of alt, you know?
Okay.
But in a very Disney way, in a very, like, acceptable, I'm from the suburbs kind of way.
Okay. Maybe I've just never quite understood the mass appeal of this film.
Okay.
And I don't know why. And I like picture it as like a boy movie. Is that true?
Yes.
Is it though? I thought it was, I thought it had fans of all.
I think it does because girls love Sally so much.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe I'm just
I think you're just projecting on because you are a boy and you like this movie. So you think it's
so
a boy
long
movie.
Story short, what did you think about the movie, Kimberly?
I don't understand why he wants to steal Christmas and why he can't just enjoy Christmas. Like, why does he need to do a hostile takeover of Christmas? I don't understand why the holidays don't know about each other. Like, if they each have their king and they all visit the same earth, like, shouldn't they all know that each other exists? Like, you know, the king of France. And, like, it would be much more interesting if they had, like, a party where they were like, oh, Santa's coming.
It's the entire time we watched this movie, Alex, Kimberly like kept talking about how she couldn't give into the given circumstances of things while she delved into like taking the lore of it way more seriously than most people do.
Okay.
She's like, I don't believe this. And I was like, well, what do you mean? She's
they
like,
show
well,
him going out of the tree like, the and holidays, then he just like shows up in Christmas.
She's like, the holidays should be aware of each other. And like, there should be like some kind of coalition. She's like, there's no way that these holidays aren't aware of each other. And I don't know, like if they have a king, there's some kind of like government. I'm like, whoa, that is not where I expected you to go.
I did have a thought where I wonder what the economy and civic life of Halloween Town is every other day besides Halloween. So I was a little bit there with you. But not in a critical way. I was just like, oh, I wonder what like their Arbor Day is like. What does their banking system look like?
It would be more interesting if like he pined for Christmas because like he was so bored and unfulfilled every other day of the year besides Halloween. Is that what it's about? And I missed it.
Well, yes, but also it's that he is also bored of Halloween now, so now he has no days to look forward to.
Ah, I see.
Yeah.
Also, yeah. Are there only 5 people in this town?
What are you talking about? There's a lady with snakes in her hair. There's a clown with a tearaway face.
Yeah, but are those the only people?
Kimberly, do you know how long it takes to do stop motion? A long time. They don't need.
No, I understand, but I'm saying like, how did he and Sally not already fall in love?
Didn't tell him.
Oh, she was fresh.
I guess I don't know.
Fresh, but also she's nervous.
For someone that like really just didn't like this movie, you have so many questions about it.
Because everyone else loves this movie, and I don't know why. Okay. I don't.
Here's where I'm at with this movie. I really like it. I think the visuals are spectacular. Cast is great. The songs are awesome. There's a lot of iconic imagery in it. The beef I have with the screenplay is it's 76 minutes long, which is impressive that it's so efficient. You know everyone's motivation right away. But the problem is it doesn't linger enough that it can substantially hit you. It's just like, oh, he wants to do Christmas. But it's like, I want to know more about his personality as to why. So it kind of feels like a really great Nickelodeon Christmas after school special. And I think it's that extra, like if it went to 90 and above, I think it would be able to hit a little harder because they would have been done more characterization.
They didn't have time to like empathize with this person.
Yeah.
Or he goes and steals Christmas, which is a beloved tradition of children who are watching this film. And so they just see a skeleton is stealing their joy.
Yeah, so I think this
Although
movie...
I think most kids it, like this movie. I don't know.
Like, its concision as a script is impressive, but also I think it's a hindrance at a certain point. So I had fun. I watched it again today. I had a great time. But I'm just like, I want this to hit me harder than it is, and that's what I think every time I see it as an adult.
Yeah.
Because it's so, like, bare bones.
Yeah, sorry. I also find Jack's first song boring.
Yeah,
and so that's great. Like, I just couldn't like get into his "I Want" song, and then so then I didn't care about his wants.
Yeah, but they open with "This Is Halloween," and it's like, how you?
Yeah, that's a great song.
How do you not get into that?
And "What's This" is cool.
What's this?
Like there are some, yeah. All the fast songs are good. The ballads are just like okay.
The ballads are kind of punishing.
Yeah,
they honestly, they're not bad songs. It's the they could speed those up just a little
bit. Yeah.
Like that tempo is just like k-k-k-k-k-k-k. It's like, yo. Like let's wonder this and like make it
quick. Like that opening where Jack sings his sad song, is saved by the fact that the imagery is so cool with the mountain unfurling.
Oh, it's amazing.
Oh, yeah. So beautiful, and it's so, like, that image has been burned in my brain since I was about 7 years old. But the song could be a little faster, and it would
be better.
Yeah, and I like Sally's song too, but same thing.
Yeah, exactly the same thing. Just it could be faster and brighter. Maybe it's also that the movie is so very dark that it just puts my eyes.
That's the whole point. It's Halloween.
So we were watching it last night. I had to finish it this morning because I fell asleep.
Yeah, she sure did. Because
it was just like so dark and soothing and balanced, and I just.
Yeah, so I watched it twice, and I wasn't mad about it. It's only 72 minutes. It's quick.
That's true.
Okay, the question is, do you think this is a Christmas movie or a Halloween movie, Alex?
Oh, you guys go first. Let me think.
I think it's a Christmas movie, and that's why I wanted to do it at Christmas. Only because it is Halloween attempting to celebrate Christmas.
I agree.
Halloween is over at the start of this film.
Yeah, Halloween's over. It's Christmas time. And Halloween's like, maybe we'll do Christmas.
Yeah, the magic of Christmas is that he realizes that variety is the spice of life. And that for a second, until everything works out, I was like, is the message of this movie stay in your lane? But then it all kind of works out that he brings Halloween or Christmas to Halloween and everything's fine. So I was like, oh, okay, Chris, for a second there, I was like, wait, is this just telling him, like, you shouldn't want things?
We all celebrate each other.
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
What's your favorite song?
What are the names of the songs?
This is Halloween.
Yeah, this is yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I think yours is what's this? Yeah, you like
because he sees Christmas.
That's the only time we were watching it that you actually like kind of like ooh. I was like, oh, she's in now.
I want a movie about Christmas Town.
Yeah.
Christmas Land.
I kind of like some of the slower songs. My favorite sequence in the show is when he has been shot down and he's laying on like the gravestone. That song is punishingly slow, but like when it starts to speed up and he's like, I am the Pumpkin King. It's like, yes, this is it. Hard. It's very good.
Mm-hmm. Is that Poor Jack?
Yes. I liked Poor Jack. Or no, is Poor Jack.
Or To the Rescue. Or Christmas Eve montage.
Okay, you're just confusing me. I described what my favorite song was. I don't need a title for it.
I do like that they call Santa Claus Sandy Claus. I think that is a fun little misunderstanding.
Although, why? But
he has no claws at all.
Irresponsible in that because he says in that song, I'll explain it the way that you want. Like he basically says, like I'll tell them what they want to hear. And so, like, the misunderstanding of, like, them making, like, evil presents and things like that, like, is kind of on Jack.
Oh, it is.
He doesn't thoroughly, he doesn't explain Christmas well enough and, like, leans into the scary parts even though there are none.
Well, I don't think he understands Christmas when he's trying to explain it.
He spent 15 minutes doing science to understand Christmas.
Yeah, what science was he doing?
I don't know. It was funny. I liked
it. It was fun to watch, like, crush an ornament.
I loved his chestnuts over open fire, but it's like a division equation.
Yes, very good.
This is another example of a thing that bugs me about the screenplay is that, so Sally's like, don't do it, it'll end badly, because she held a piece of, like, pine tree and it just burst into flames. I was like, okay, that's
cool. Vision? I thought I slept through the vision.
She held a thing, it turned into a Christmas tree and then it was on fire.
I didn't think that was a vision. I thought that was one of his failed experiments.
I think it is, but that's what's supposed to motivate her to say, don't do this. But I feel like that's not quite good enough. But also this movie insists on having a breakneck pace where they don't sit for a moment on anything. So it's just like...
Unless they're sitting on a ballad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't even know why the vision is pertinent. I mean, I think she could just observe people like making the presents and being like, maybe this isn't...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe she's the one that actually understands what Christmas is.
Yeah.
She is like pure of heart. And
I think that's how you add 15 minutes to this movie, is that you have Jack come back and show Sally Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets it because she's a toy. Yeah. She's a doll.
Oh my God. That actually really works. That really works.
Or you go through like her backstory, and she was like a toy that fell off of Santa's sleigh.
Yeah.
As they go over Halloween.
And then you have, and then he puts her in charge of like overseeing Christmas, and nobody's doing it right, and she's trying to tell everyone.
She's Mrs. Claus.
But they're not listening. Yeah, she's Mrs. Pumpkin King.
Yeah. And then
we fixed it.
And then you can still do the romance because it could be like a tension.
And it actually gives Sally something to do.
Yes, that's the biggest beef with this movie is that Sally has nothing to do but be wistful. And then it's funny to watch her run away, but it's like, that's not enough.
Yeah.
No, and her arms creep me out.
Yeah.
They're like a little too long.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because they're dismembered and sewn together, but it's the length that bothered you?
Yeah. They're just a little long. I'm just like, their proportions are wrong. Although all of his limbs are also
quite. Yeah. Why did Jack get the Oogie Boogie kids to steal Santa Claus, assuming that they just wouldn't be who they are? It feels flimsy to me.
It doesn't make any sense.
And don't bring that Oogie Boogie into this.
But then when he goes back to go get Santa Claus, he just knows that they're Oogie Boogies.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, he has to know that those kids were not going to do what he told them to do.
Yeah. So it feels... I wish this movie would just not barrel ahead on stuff so quickly. And I don't know if it's because of my nature of how hard it was to make or whatever, but it's like, just give me an extra 14 minutes because I think this movie, it's a good movie, I think, with a great movie in it that we never fully got, you know?
Because it was based on a poem, which obviously didn't lean into things.
Yeah.
It's based on a Tim Burton poem from 1982.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I really like this movie. It's not perfect, but...
Yeah. I had fun.
It's fun. Do you have little loves?
Little loves?
Yeah.
I have many. First little love, probably my favorite part in the whole movie is at the very beginning, and this is Halloween, when they're all going, la, 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 and they're, everyone hail to the pumpkin song, and then he comes up out of the well with his arms crossed, and they're like, la, 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 la. It's just, it gets me with the feels like every time. It's just so baller. It's just, I was like, this guy's cool. He's so cool. I just love Jack Skellington. He's just so cool. And I really like, I like Zero the dog. And I also just appreciate how all of the archetypes of like Halloween monsters are represented so well.
The tearaway face.
Yes, that's another one of my little loves. Is that like in the song, she's like, I am the clown with the tearaway face. It's like, they say that with such, like, we're supposed to know what that is, but it's so out of nowhere.
Doesn't it feel like there should be something creepy under it, but it's just blank? And I was like, it's PG level creepy.
It's scary. It doesn't bother me. It's scary. Void. It's just like,
it didn't bother me. But I do, and also we meet every character we have to know for later in that song, which is really smart.
I think about the clown with the tearaway face like quite a bit.
Okay. Who's scarier, him or Pennywise, if we're going clowns?
Well, straight spooks, Pennywise.
Okay.
Who's more interesting?
Okay. I agree.
I've never seen the movie with Pennywise.
I've
never seen it.
It's wildly overrated.
I've heard.
Zero the dog, his nose is a pumpkin, and that's just really cute. It's a little jack-o'-lantern, and it lights up, and that's just awesome. I like that. I really like the snake swallowing the tree. I don't know why that's so vivid, but it's like a 2-second little bit.
It's so slow, like, rah, rah, and the kid's just like, it looks how it would really look.
And in Christmastown, I like how the elves are riding on a wind-up toy polar bear, which means that like they're like have advanced the robotics in a way that they feel like they can use it for transportation, which I find interesting. I like how all the people look like in this, because the people are kind of spooky. Because you're just paying attention to monsters the whole time, and then the people look so normal. You're like, you don't look right. It's like, no, but you've been looking at the snake hair lady with a huge underbite.
Yeah, it's Uncanny Valley. Get closer to a person, and you're like, ew.
Yeah.
Alex, little loves?
Jay took a couple of mine, but that's okay, because, no, my first one was, I mean, all of this is Halloween is great, but my favorite part is la, 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 and he rises out of that. It's so good.
It's so good.
I love the werewolf. He looks exactly like you would want a werewolf in this universe to look like. He's just perfect. He's one of my favorite toys as a kid. I love the part of the Oogie Boogie song where he goes, whoa, and then those little clowns go, ah, it's so cool.
Oh yeah, Oogie Boogie. Oh, and when he goes, he's like, I'm gonna do the best I can. It's just so good, it's so good, I love him.
My bugs.
My bugs. Everything Boogie says is
it reminds me of, do you remember on that South Park episode that was about anti-smoking groups? And Rob Reiner's like eating cheeseburgers and they shoot him and this goo comes. He goes, my goo, my precious goo. I can't not think of that when I see my bugs.
Yeah. That's how you add another 10 minutes. Just more Oogie Boogie. We just need.
I would love that. I want to know more about the world of Halloween Town in that I want to know why. Okay. I don't necessarily need to know why Jack's the Pumpkin King, but I have to know what does that entail besides he's cool on Halloween. Why is Oogie Boogie an outlaw? What does he do other than that he's the scarier of the scare? Like, this movie could dig into its own lore more and be super satisfying, which I wonder if they ever did this on Broadway, which they probably wouldn't, but if they did, digging more into that and making it like Beetlejuice where they kind of add their own shit could be
like, why does Oogie Boogie have a gambling problem?
Yeah, and also he's like Two-Face, he's like Snake Eyes and then rolls it again because like the number was unsatisfying to his OCD or what. It's
the motif of it is very good, but I just don't know why it's there.
And finally, I love when the mountain unfurls at Jack's feet. It's nice. Beautiful image.
It's very pretty. And then I like when it's covered in snow, when something goes up on it. I like that one. My little loves are the Christmas decorations in Christmas Land. They're all like very like 50s and retro, like those like tinsel trees.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that very much. I like all the people calling the one poor police officer about all of the toys.
I bravo to this movie for the fact that the military gets involved in yelling that like they're shooting like mortars at him.
That whole sequence is great. Someone has taken over Santa. And I'm like, oh, it's a world where they know Santa is real.
Yeah. There's a public outcry, which is kind of.
Yeah. I liked that very much.
But also you're telling me that we live in a world in which everyone knows that Santa's coming and everyone's kind of low-key met Santa, but like the other holidays don't know about each other.
Exactly. So you're on my side.
I'm just saying stealing Christmas is like an inner holiday war crime. Like there's got
to
be a convention or something about that.
Yeah, like Easter Bunny convention. Probably like went back and was like, Halloween's up to something.
Yeah.
Do you think Jesus has to make an appearance once a year in Easter Town?
Probably.
Like a mandated cameo.
Well, why not in Christmas Land?
That too.
Yeah.
Baby Jesus.
Baby Jesus. Sweet little baby Jesus in a manger.
Yeah.
Sweet little baby Jesus.
Why are you saying it like that?
I don't know. It's just fun. Sweet little baby Jesus. Sweet little baby Jesus in a manger.
Take as many takes as you want.
Tiny little baby Jesus in a manger. Sweet little baby Jesus
in a manger. Well, that's been a nightmare before Christmas. Do we think Harold has ever seen this movie?
No.
His granddaughter probably showed it to him. No, you know what? His daughter was really into it. And then when she grew up, she tried to show it to his granddaughter and had them all gathered around. But Harold was just confused and or asleep.
I like to think that Harold is sitting next to his super goth granddaughter.
Yeah.
What are we watching?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that skeleton on your hoodie? Yeah.
And it's only an hour long, so his phone, we're in the window where a phone might not ring at all. But if it did, I would say leave.
You know something we've never inquired about? Who's calling Harold? What's he up to?
In Rocky Horror, we did posit that it might be his dom. That was posited as a possibility.
I think it might be a robocall. I think
it's many, many calls. I think Harold's South the guy, Dakota.
I think Harold's the guy that falls for that kind of thing.
It's a voice in Korean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do not hang up. This is
cool. You have been accused of a crime.
Your social security number is...
It happens enough that at least it has to work at some point. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You've called my grandmother.
Man, people keep calling Kimberly's grandmom about all sorts of things. And they do that thing where they like call and are really like, hi, it's
hi, like, grandma, it's me.
It's me. And then she keeps thinking it's me. I don't know why.
Because it's a male voice she doesn't quite recognize. Is what she's...
I was like, grandma, I never called you. She's like, yeah, I just keep thinking it's you.
Just on the subject of that, when my dad had his apartment in Manhattan like years ago, my great aunt called once and he got a new answering machine and he hadn't done a message on it yet. And it just said, hello, we are not available at the phone right now, like something like that. And Aunt Florence was so freaked out because she thought it was a murderer who had picked up the phone. And I'm like, but why would you think the murderer was so cordial in answering the phone? Like, there's a little bit of a disconnect in the characterization here, but killed my dad, but also very polite on that phone.
Yeah. Look, you know, being polite and being a murderer are not mutually exclusive. You know what
I'm saying? Yeah, you might be a killer. You don't have to be a dick about it.
All right. Any reviews?
Got a review here. It says, a theater pod for everyone. It's from Beyond the Balcony. Thank you. Leave Broadway Baby 5 stars and a nice review. Really helps our numbers. Such a fun podcast. We love the Great Comet discussion. Can't wait to hear more. Yay. I assume that means more episodes on Great Comet.
I would assume.
Yeah.
I would do.
What?
I did not like Great Comet.
I know.
I love it.
Yeah, we had a discussion. We were all there. You can go back and listen to all your thoughts. All right. Shall we sing out, Louise?
Okay. Broadway fans of every age, we all know you're missing the stage. No more plays for you to see in our state of quarantine. This is quarantine, this is quarantine. Podcast stream in the dead of night. This is quarantine, everybody wanna scream. Wear a mask and you'll be all right. It's our pod, everybody stream in our state of quarantine. I am the sweatpants you wore all week. Take me off soon or I'll start to reek. I am the mound made of unwashed socks piled on a Domino's pizza box. This is quarantine. This is quarantine. Quarantine, 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 quarantine. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. In this time, trapped at home, everyone hail to the podcast song.
That's very good.
I think that's one of your best.
I think that might be one of your best ones. I think that should be a sketch. That's really funny. That's really good.
Yeah, just stop motion dirty socks to singing or and laundry.
It's but the only thing I require is that it still has the clown with the tearaway face. I am the clown with the tearaway face.
Why are you here?
Eating and stuffing my face.
You know what the gag would be? They go, you're not wearing a mask, cover your face. He'd take it off and put his hand over it. Are we still recording?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
What's this? What's this? There's color everywhere. What's this? There's white things in the air. What's this? I can't believe my eyes. I must be dreaming. Wake up, Jack. This isn't fair. What's this?